In 1988, young Chang was living in London. Her mother came to visit her from China, and Chang wanted to show her the town. But her mother wasn't into sightseeing. What she wanted to do was talk, and she did. She sat at young Chang's dining room table with a tape recorder day after day for months. When she was done, she went back to China, and she left young Chang with 60 hours of family history that was revelatory. On the tapes were stories about her grandmother, who had been a warlord's concubine. The tapes contained details of her mother and father's life under the growing tyranny of Chairman Mao, life that echoed the tumult of China in the last century. In 1991, Yong Chang turned those stories into a memoir called Wild Swans. It sold 13 million copies. It's been translated into 36 languages. And now Wild Swans is being performed on stage. The world premiere of Wild Swans is happening now at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's got elaborate sets of marketplaces and farms and dialogue that illustrates the spare lives of the laborers in Mao's communist China.
Governor Lin was promised a 200-pound cabbage yesterday. We can do better than that.
During a recent matinee of Wild Swans, I spoke with Yong Chang upstairs at the American Repertory Theater.
I'm very pleased that Wild Swans has been transformed into another art form. It is, of course, quite strange because I have a very deep memory of my father, my late father, and my mother is still alive, living in China. And then there is the stage depiction of them. And, of course, they are not the same. So in that sense, it's a bit strange. But on the other hand, the play has to have its own integrity.
Yong Chang says the play and the book focus on her family's moral dilemmas, the ones her mother told her about long ago in London.
You know, I think what first made my mother talk was she bottled up all this bitterness against my father. Her first story to me, I remember well, was that she was this newlywed with my father, and they walked from Manchuria in northeast China to my father's birthplace in the south. The journey was 1,000 miles long, and my father was a senior officer in the communist army, so he was entitled to a jeep or horse, whichever was available. And my mother was new to the revolution, so she had to walk, and she suffered a miscarriage on the way.
She had to walk while he drove?
Yes, she had to walk. And he wouldn't give her a lift because he said it was breaking rules. And also this was a form of nepotism, which the communists had vowed to get rid of. So my mother had this bitterness, and her first conversations were full of anger against my father. But gradually, after she let off her steam, she would say, "Oh, of course I understand your father." And then the moral dilemmas emerged, the moral dilemmas of these two people.
They were different, weren't they, the moral dilemmas your dad faced versus your mother?
Yes, my father was a real believer in communism. He believed, for example, that communism was going to end poverty in China, poverty and starvation, because what drove him to communism was to see all these starving people. Then, after the communists took power, he witnessed the greatest famine probably in the history of the world, as well as the history of China. 40-something million people died of starvation between 1958 and 1961. And that, I think, shattered my father's dream in communism. And then, when he and the others were against Mao's policies, Mao launched the Cultural Revolution in 1966 to punish the party officials who already disobeyed him, and unleashed this great terror, Great Purge, which was 10 years of unremitting horror. So that sort of thoroughly destroyed my father's illusion in communism.
What happened to him then?
And my father, you know, spoke up against the Cultural Revolution, against Mao. He was arrested, tortured, driven insane, exiled to a camp, and died prematurely. My mother has a different kind of moral dilemma, more nuanced. My mother would put her family first without sacrificing her principles.
But still, she went through these mental and moral dilemmas herself.
Yes, well, she had tremendous bitterness against my father. But in the Cultural Revolution, when she was put under tremendous pressure to denounce my father, she refused. And as a result, she went through over 100 of those ghastly denunciation meetings. She was made to kneel on broken glass. She was beaten up, paraded in the streets where children spat at her and threw stones at her. She was exiled to a camp. But she always stood by my father in spite of all this.
Do you understand that?
Yes. The thing is, you know, in the Cultural Revolution, we as children were put under pressure to denounce our parents. And when many children did that, we absolutely refused. We stood by our parents. I stood by my father.
How were you affected, too? You were a member of the Red Guards. The government was capitalizing on the fervor of young people. How were you involved in that?
Well, actually, all children of my generation were kind of swept into these Red Guard groups. Then when my parents became victims, I left Red Guard and I stayed at home to look after them. And then I was exiled.
It must have been an awful lot for you to bear. I wonder then what it's like for you as you think of these stories, the ones that you wrote in the book. While downstairs, there are people watching the play right now. What's the feeling? Is there any feeling that too much has been revealed, that you're more exposed now?
Well, in fact, I hope more will be revealed. This subject is still taboo in China. Brainwashing is still going on in China. I mean, Tiananmen was 20 years ago, and yet young people don't know anything about it.
It just occurred to me that if your book is banned in China and your mother is living in China, does she have bragging rights to you? Does she suffer at all because of the book?
She didn't suffer repercussions. I mean, China has changed tremendously from Mao's days. And she indeed had made many friends through Wild Swans. You know, she was visited by backpackers, diplomats, businessmen, students, and of course lots of Japanese tourists with cameras, and including, you know, many communist officials, young people who became communists.
Really?
Yes. I mean, you know, asking my mother for books. So my mother is very pleased. When she told me the stories for me to write the book, she really only wanted understanding from her daughter. And now she had understanding from tens of millions of readers all over the world.
That's Yong Chang, author of the best-selling memoir Wild Swans. The play based on the book is debuting now at the American Repertory Theatre in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It heads to the Young Vic Theatre in London in April.